I want to welcome everyone to the virtual summit of the Public Speakers Association. This is our Change Your World So You Can Change the World event today. And I would love to introduce one of my favorite people, Candy Barone. And she was so cute when I first met her. She was like, that's bar one is how you pronounce her, how to spell her last name. And I love it when people, you know, not only tell you their name, but then they try to help you figure out how to spell it too. It's great. So Candy, why don't you just take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya, so much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Like Tanya said, my name is Candy Barone. I am the founder and CEO for a company called You Empowered Strong, LLC. I am a certified master coach, a certified law of attraction practitioner. I also train coaches, am a professional speaker, and an author. So I am so excited to be here with all of you today, as I want to talk to you about some ways that you can really learn to say yes to yourself, destroy some noise, and truly unlock the inner superhero inside and let it take off in flight. So to get started, let me pose a question out there or a thought. How many of you were a lot like me when you were younger? You had that really crazy, creative, wicked imagination where you could imagine yourself being, I don't know, a superhero, for instance. Maybe you took the T-shirt and put it on your head and pretended it was your cape. Or you tied the towel around your neck and did the same. Or, I don't know, maybe you were like me and you got your bracelets out and thought you were Wonder Woman and were invincible that way. But, you know, I was younger and I always wanted to be kind of a cross between Wonder Woman and Aquaman and a little Mighty Mouse, which might have made for a very interesting superhero. But when I think about it, I think about some of those really rainy days or the snowy days where you were caught outside. I actually grew up north, even though I'm from Austin, Texas now. And we used to build these forts. We would take out the blankets and the pillows, and we'd create these magical kingdoms in our living room, right? Who remembers those? Remembers those. And, you know, we would go inside, and they become this whole other world that would kind of transport us to another place. And I remember I would read books like The Chronicles of Narnia, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that were these really great ways to get your imagination to play really big. And I can remember I would actually sit in my closet sometimes and pull out that book, and I'd get in, and I'd close my eyes, and I'd pretend that I had walked through that wardrobe, and then the land of Narnia just kind of created itself. When I took a friend of mine's daughter who was 12, she was reading the book at the same time, and it was right around the time that the movie came out. And you know how that goes. You go and watch a movie, and a lot of times it's like, the book is so such an experience, and then you go see the movie and it kind of falls flat, right? They missed the best parts in the book, or they didn't quite get the characters the way that you imagined them, or I don't know, it just seems to be a disconnect between what you thought up in your own mind and what whoever decided to produce it, edit it, whatnot, put up on the screen. Well, anyway, I took my friend's 12-year-old, and so we're sitting in the movie, and it was like I was transported back in time. It was as if someone tapped in to my imagination when I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, and they put exactly what I had imagined up on screen. What was really cool is the 12-year-old I was with said, that is just like the book I'm reading. And I was like, I know, and it really created this very engaging, very in-depth conversation that we were able to have over lunch after we watched the movie. But what was interesting about that is it really caused me to pause and wonder, do we really do that as adults? Do we do that make-believe or let our imagination run or even pretend we're superheroes and let ourselves feel invincible and powerful and as if we could conquer the world? And, you know, I really thought about that and said, no, we don't. And I kind of was curious as to why not. And, you know, you think somewhere between being a child and an adult, we lose a lot of that ability to play, to dream, to imagine the make-believe, right, the what-if. Because we've got roles and responsibilities and, well, you know, that's kid stuff. We're an adult. We're supposed to be more mature. We're supposed to be more level-headed. But here's the kicker of all of that. Do you realize that the only way you can create change in your life, the only way that you can go to that next level is by starting in your imagination first? So it's really around creating the opportunity and the visual that you can see something that you can't even maybe experience right now as your reality. And so the only way you can make that happen is to create in your imagination. So if we as adults are not spending that time in that space, how are we able to do the change and achieve those big dreams we say we want? A lot of times it's because we hand that power over, right? We give that power over. There's a lot of noise, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But there's a lot of noise that we allow to creep in to our life, and it shuts us down. And then a lot of times we hand over our own power and let that noise paralyze us. And I know for me personally, I'm not okay with handing that power over, and I want to take some control and give my imagination that opportunity to dream it up again. So, let's talk about destroying the noise. We're going to destroy the noise. We should probably talk a little bit about what the noise actually is. I've broken it down into the actual letters in the word noise. So, for starters, the N is the negative self-talk and self-image you have of yourself. Think about all of the words, the self-deprecation, the questions, the holding yourself back, the filters you put out there that are slowing you down or sabotaging you from getting what you want. Let me give you a very real example. I have a client that I work with who he looks very similar to me. He's a very type A, extremely driven personality, tends to be a perfectionist in a lot of ways. And he really tends to grind at the axle, muscles his way through a lot. Very successful, but always with a lot of push, a lot of muscle, a lot of drive. And, you know, we were having a conversation in one of our sessions, and he made the comment around, you know, I know I always read these very heavy intellectual, philosophical type books. Because as much as he's driven, he also has this sense that he wants to feed his soul. So he reads the Wayne Dwyer's and the Brian Tracy's, who some of those are my personal favorites. But their writings and their books can sometimes be a little heavy, sometimes feel almost like a little graduate work, and really requires you to kind of dig in and get settled in the some of what they're sharing with you. He was really struggling with all of that intensity and felt he needed something that had a little bit of a lighter appeal. So he was telling me this story, and he's like, you know, so I felt like I needed something a little lighter, something a little easier to digest. And then he said, I know this is going to sound cheesy, but, and I stopped him. I didn't let him finish. And I said, I just stopped listening to you. And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, you just decided for me that it wasn't worth me paying attention to what you said next. He's like, and he gave me a very puzzled look. And I said, because here's the thing. I have a lot of information coming at me in multiple directions. Yet you just told me that what you're about to say is cheesy, it's stupid, it's foolish, it's lame. What are those filters we put out there all the time? So why should I bother to pay attention? You just told me this is one less thing I need to consider. However, if you would have told me, said the same thing, I read these heavy, very, you know, deep, introspective type readings, and I needed something lighter. And I'm going to tell you, I found the thing that just worked for me. It was chicken soup of the soul. The likelihood that I would have, A, listened, really engaged with him, and then maybe even gone out to check it out myself, went up drastically had he turned that filter off around, well, you're going to judge me, and this is going to be cheesy anyway. That negative self-talk gets in our way so many times. The O in the noise is the opinions of others that we choose to internalize and make our own truth. Give you another example. I had an assistant when I was still working in corporate America. I left about 10 months ago to start my own business. And I do not do drama very well. I don't micromanage very well. She came in my office very upset, hysterically crying because someone in our area made a comment about the work she was doing. I stopped her and I said, okay, how many people do you know in this organization? She said, or how many years have you been here in this organization? She said, 20 years. I said, is it fair then to assume that in 20 years, you've probably met 10 new people each year? You know, I'm trying to do simple math and make a point. She's like, yeah. I said, so 200 people we could say that you knew within this organization. Sure. Okay. Aside from the person you just mentioned, how many of those 200 people would validate that comment? Would you validate that comment about yourself? She looked at me, kind of thought about it for a minute, and said, nobody would say that about me. So then let me ask you, why are you going to let a random person who you probably don't even know, like, or trust, or value their opinion, cause your entire day to be derailed? Make that your truth, which we all know what happens. It's not as if it just shuts you down one day. It ends up being a bad week, a bad month, a bad quarter. And 6 months from now, when I see that assistant again and I ask her about her work, she's going to tell me, well, I don't do this well. When 6 months ago, that was one of her strong suits, because someone else gave her an opinion of herself that she made her own truth without stepping back to say, wow, is this even my reality? Do I even believe this? And does this hold any merit? We get this, and sometimes we think, oh, the opinions of others, just that negative space. It's also all of that advice that comes from us, comes to us from all those well-intentioned, well-meaning people in our lives, especially our family and closest friends. I just started to build my business. I get a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about how I should grow my business. Some of it serves the goals that I have for myself and the vision of where I see this going. Most of it is noise because it's not aligned with what I want to do. Or, and no disrespect to some of those well-intentioned, good people that are giving me that advice, their business is much smaller than where I'm looking to go. So why would I want their strategies when I want to chase somebody that's bigger than me? And so I say that because you have the ability to choose what you believe is your truth, what you want to internalize, and where and how it serves the goals you have. But that O gets to be such a dangerous place that we dance in, and we make other people's stuff, which most of the time, probably 99.9% of the time, because most of us are very self-absorbed as human beings, when someone says something to you about you, it's not about you. It's about their own insecurities, biased beliefs, limited thinking, or the fact that they just got chewed out by somebody else and somebody else projected something to them. They're looking to put that to someone else. I tell people all the time, I choose not to participate in that. Another example in that same space, because I think this point is really big, had a gentleman once tell me, you're extremely aggressive. I have a big personality. I get that. But I looked at him and smiled and said, thank you. He shot right back. That wasn't a compliment. I shrugged my shoulders, smiled again, and said, you don't get to choose how I decide to receive it. Again, he kept pushing, and I finally looked at him and I said, you act as if your opinion matters. It doesn't in my world. It doesn't become my truth. And so I kind of shut him down, and then I said, you know, and I define that word differently, so thank you again. Because sometimes we can just say thank you and not participate and walk away. So let's talk about the I, which is the inefficiencies in our everyday activities. Everyone says they don't have enough time in the day to get the things accomplished they want and need to get accomplished. You have all the time you need if you stop wasting time in spaces that don't serve your vision, your goal. And this is where it becomes very critical for you to get crystal clear in the goals you have for yourself. What do you really mean? And when you make a commitment to that and then create self-discipline around how to create intentional activity on a daily and weekly basis and hold yourself accountable, you'd be surprised at how much you can build effective and efficient hours in your day. And I will tell you personally, this is my biggest nemesis. I have this noise creeps in my life all the time. I want to take on too many things. Some of you that may be in sales or similar personalities to me, I have what I like to call the squirrel syndrome. I see something that's a shiny object, or it's new social media, or it's a new app or a new technology, and I'm like, ooh, I want some of that. Ooh, I want to play around with that. Yet I get really caught up in the excitement and the brightness and the shininess that sometimes I lose sight of what my intentional goals are, what my activities need to be. So I have coaches in my own life that know how to talk to me straight and keep me kind of within the lanes that I've created for myself. The S, and I talk about this a lot in a book that I wrote called You Empowered Strong, is really around the shoulding we do on ourselves. And that's all the I shouldn't do this because, you know how that perpetuates. And we get a lot of that from our family. We get a lot of that from society. I get a lot of people that say, you're almost 41 years old. You should be married and have kids. My answer usually is, why? Because that makes you feel comfortable. It isn't the right thing in my life right now. It may be somewhere down the line, but right now that's not my focal point, and my life is very full regardless. We also do that on a day-to-day basis. It's not just the shoulding that others put on us and the big things like going to school, getting married, getting a job, getting a degree. We do that shoulding on ourselves when it's the little things we want to do, but we change our frame and make it a have to do. We'll say things like, I should go to the gym. I have to go to the gym. Wow, that sounds like punishment to me. Instead of saying, I really want to do this because it's going to afford me better health, more energy, that endorphin rush that I can have a high afterwards. It's a big difference. And what we don't understand is what we focus on, we manifest. So if we focus on the negative side of what we don't want to do, it's going to feel heavy and anchoring, and it's going to shut us down. So watch those shoulds. They can be really debilitating in your life and in your business. And the last one that's really important is the excuses we create and perpetuate. When I give talks, and even when I was up in Chicago and Milwaukee this week, I ask a lot of people in the audience, how many of you are either business owners or in a sales capacity in some way? And, you know, everybody should be raising their hand because everybody's in sales. They're either selling their product themselves, a service, whatever. And then I follow it up and ask, how many of you are good at sales? I don't get as many hands raised. You're exceptional at sales. Most of us are just using that talent in the wrong space. Because you see, you sell yourself on the excuses you buy into every day, multiple times a day. The I can and can't do this because, I should and shouldn't do this because. You are so good at sales that you not only sell and don't even know you're selling, you oftentimes close yourself before you even started the sale. Here's the other thing I want you to think about when it comes to the excuses. Those of us that are in sales always are like, oh, I'm afraid of the no. What if they say no? That's the worst thing. You know, first we say, what if I die? Well, you're not going to die, so get rid of that. And then they say, but what if he says no? First of all, it's always a no. It's always a no before you start it. You don't lose anything by asking, but you have three things you could gain. One is confirmation of the no. That's not a bad thing. When you know it's a no, when you have confirmation around that, you can move away from that space and go find the yes. Why would you want to spend time in a space that doesn't serve you to get to your goal or help you grow your business? So getting the confirmation helps you build those efficiencies that we talked about before. The other is, oh my gosh, you might actually get a yes. There are people that ask me how I got John Gordon to write a testimonial on the back of my book. I asked. He wrote me his testimonial while he was out to the Today Show to do his excerpt out there. It was a no, but I asked and got a yes. The third thing, and this is probably the thing that we lose sight of most often, we do not know how, when, or who we can affect or impact or influence. You may, by just virtue of asking the question, may have that thing at that moment that could change someone's life forever. And when you don't ask, you never give that person the opportunity to make that choice. So three things you can gain from there. You create awareness and start to build strategies to eliminate the noise. It naturally happens that your inner superhero starts to come out. For those of you that really want to know more, I am offering a free excerpt from my book. If you go to my website, I have a special offer for those of you listening for PSA, which is really to give you chapter 6 of my book, which is going to help you destroy some of that noise. So there is a free download of chapter 6 for my book, You Empowered Strong, Infinite Possibilities and the Power of Yes. And you'll find that at www.candybarone.com/PSA-offerings.html. And Candy Barone, for those of you the way it's spelled, is C-A-N-D-Y, B as in boy, A-R-O-N-E. So again, that's www.candybaroneinternational.com/PSA-offerings.html. I urge you to go out there. In addition to finding that free download, you also can opt in if you want to learn more and get your legs underneath you. I do have a boot camp I'm running as well, and really encourage people to sign up for that. You'll see that on there as well for a special price. But the excerpt is yours. It's free. Download it. I would love to have you have a copy of that and get a sense of how you can start to destroy that noise further. Because as you go through this process of breaking down the noise and truly identifying, one, what you want, getting very crystal clear on that, and being able to connect it back to why it matters, and you stay focused on the vision that you want, again, that commitment around what it is you want, you start to weed that noise out and gain more awareness and create the strategies to get rid of it, you'll find that your own authentic light, your own superhero, your superpowers start to shine, and that you truly are empowered strong. Thank you so much. I hope you found some value in today's talk, and I look forward to hearing from you in the future. Thank you.
Yay. That was-